let me just finish that off. You were talking. We were talking about your relatives and friends that you might bring to it. And how did that happen?
Number one, I never liked to travel alone, and my cousin, he would drive me to work, and so I would ask the producer if he had a little party next to him. And I have also brought a couple of friends of mine over to play extras. And I don't think it was a common practice, but it worked with me.
Now, did you always ask them beforehand? It wasn't a matter of you showing up.
Well, as far as my cousin's concerned, the one that drove me over, I didn't ask beforehand. You know, when we happened there, I said, well, give my cousin a part. But I did ask if I could bring friends over. He said, okay.
And now, go back to 30-30 for a second. When you negotiated over the phone with Bert Goldberg, is that when you said, look, I got to bring a traveling companion with me?
No. He just
accepted that.
Volunteered. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he volunteered to give you that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then he must have known that you would like to travel with somebody, so that's...
I guess maybe from working with him before.
Yeah. Now, how did people who were extras, for example, find out about these shows? Like, say you did a cabaret scene or something like that, and you had people sitting at the tables. How did they cast extras?
Well, I guess it's like they do now when Hollywood comes to New York. They pick people out of the streets, you know.
Were there any kind of, do you know if there was any kind of advertising going on about the day? Say a notice in the paper or something. Auditions.
Could be, yeah.
Were there any black papers that you knew of that were like, equivalent to say like Show Business Today? You know, that listed what was happening, black productions, and where to go.
In the newspaper?
Yeah.
No, I don't think
so. So, was mostly everything more or less word of mouth? You knew what was going on, or somebody let you know this? Was the thing of, did you ever see The Tree of Hope?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about it?
I don't know too much about it. Because I never worked in the Lafayette Theater. But I saw the Tree of Hope in the street, in the middle of the street.
People
the
was cut down.
And I understand now it's in the Apollo for amateur night.
Oh, really? They bring it in?
Mm-hmm.
What did they do? Preserve it somehow?
As they come out, they touch this tree now. I don't know whether it's the original or not. But they touch this Tree of Hope, supposedly.
Mm-hmm. I've often had had an idea that I would like to somehow, someday, because I've written a couple of plays, but I would like to write a musical and call it The Tree of Hope and use that as...
Nobody's thought of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Tucker would tell me that what would happen in the late 20s is that they would go down and stand there and touch the tree for luck. But then the agents would come up. Some black guys, some white guys, and they would come up and say, well, we need somebody to play an MC up at the lounge in at Saratoga. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, we need somebody to do this, we need somebody to do that. And everybody would basically get cast right around that tree for a week's work, you know. So you go off one place and somebody fly. One of his good friends apparently was Lionel in August. And, he would go off to another place and then they get there a little later on. Lionel Monogus was the person who told him about 1933 Emperor Jones, Paul Robeson's film that they shot out at the Astoria Studios, which is where this thing is
formed. In Fort Lee, New Jersey?
No, Astoria.
Or Long Island.
On Long Island. Queens. Yeah.
Is that where Bill Cosby is filming now?
Yeah.
He's in Queens somewhere.
But that's where this museum is that I gave you the brochure for.
Oh.
That's at the Astoria Studios. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that he and Lionel Monogus went out and got cast as extras in that movie. And I saw Emperor Johnson. I don't know, have you seen that movie? Anyway, at the beginning, they changed it from the stage play. At the beginning, there's a cabaret scene. And it's a Tucker dancing in the background. Because
really?
did you know he started as a dancer in Black Broadway? In Black Broadway, he was a dancer.
No kidding.
He's part of a team called Tucker and Tucker.
You have that film?
No, it wasn't a film. It was
Tucker and Tucker?
Tucker and Tucker.
What, he and his wife?
Well, it wasn't his wife, but she passed his wife because they were traveling. She would dance, and she would dance.
Ballroom dance.
Yeah, they were doing like adagio dance.
No kidding.
Spanish dance. And then he got...
Doesn't quite pull up.
Well, then he got working as a straight man, an MC, with Bessie Smith as one of his first big fans. He acted on Broadway in the Midwest.
Yeah.
One of her shows.
His present wife doing? Is she doing okay?
Well,
she was a very nice lady. I spoke with her over the phone.
Yeah. She,
wow, that he's recognized.
He wanted to.
I'll be one of the first people to buy the book.
I'll send you a copy.
Don't
worry about that.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it was, he said to me once, and I suppose you can relate to this, he said, when Mae West went to Hollywood, she wanted to come along. And he said, there's no way I'm going to go. Because he said, a black guy with a light skin and I have no place for him. And she said, well, pass. I said, no, I'll never do that. I'll never do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, now, white women, I mean, light skin black women, can make it now and then in Hollywood because that's the way the Hollywood system works. But you're never going to see a light-skinned black man as a leading man, and I'm never going to play comedy. I'm never going to do
that. Orson Welles and Joe Cotton.
Yeah.
Yes, and Loretta Young and Dinah Shore. They are rumored to be black. Have you ever heard that?
I never heard Orson Welles, but I heard the other one.
Joe Cotton.
Yeah, in fact, Tucker told me.
Well, Orson Welles, he worked Federal Theatre Broadway, he and Joe Cotton. Matter of fact, they said that they were lovers.
Hmm.
Now, Orson went to Hollywood and he said to Joe Cotton to come out. But if you really study Orson Welles, he has black features.
Hmm.
I mean, they were supposed to have been black in this Federal Theatre project.
Well, the story that I was told was that Hallie Flanagan, was she the person who was, is that Rose McClendon? Rose McClendon was this black woman director who they had approached to do this, and she said, no. I recommend to you John Houseman to take over the Federal Theatre.
John Houseman, yeah.
Yeah, and he really was the person who produced that.
What was the show? Macbeth.
Macbeth. Voodoo Macbeth.
They were all in Macbeth. Yeah.
Yeah. And they brought it up to date to Haiti. Instead of it taking place in Scotland, like Shakespeare's play, it now takes place in Haiti during the 19th century, during, what's the role Rex played? The Haitian prince.
I guess I don't know. I didn't know him then.
Okay. Jack Carter was Macbeth.
I remember Jack Carter.
Did you know him?
No.
You remember seeing him?
But I remember seeing him in black movies.
Uh-huh.
Was he living?
No. Jack said he died in the 50s.
He was another black-white man.
Yeah.
And Monty Holly, too.
Monty Holly, Brian.
A friend of mine went to... I told you I appeared at the state building a few months ago. And she saw the movie, Dalton and Ruby. She said, what are you doing kissing that white man? You know, I said, he's not white. He is really, Monty Holly is really white. His hair was stone straight.
Mm-hmm. Ralph Cooper was pretty white.
I imagine he couldn't get any Oscar awards. Unless he went as a white man.
Yeah.
Ralph Cooper white.
Yeah. What he was, no, what I'm saying is he was light skinned. Right?
Yeah, he was light skinned, but
he
had the
features.
Heavy features.
Yeah. Was there any kind of I don't know how to say this, except to say there's a kind of caste system in these black movies? I mean, there were charges. There have been charges in newspapers by black writers who said that in many of these movies by Michaud and other people, the people you were working for, that the light-skinned people were always the heroes and the good guys, and the dark-skinned people were always the bad guys.
They say when you're white, black, you get way back.
Yeah. Now, was that the case back then?
Well, when I was getting pictures, all they wanted was light-skinned dancing girls, light-skinned actors. I mean, they were quite prejudiced at the time. But this,
now, when you
they
say they,
black is beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, but at that time.
But when you say they, who are you talking about then? The people who were casting it?
Yes.
What was their reasons for that? Did they have a good reason?
I really don't know. Well, look at the Cotton Club.
Yeah. But in the Cotton Club, the audiences were white.
Yes. But all of the girls, dancing girls, were what they call yao.
Right. Now, but in these black movies, the audiences were mostly all blacks. So
that's right.
Were light-skinned black women even seen by them as a standard of beauty for the period? I mean,
as well, like, as you see, in the black films, I don't know. I really can't answer that.
Tucker told me that he felt that there were times when he played heroes, but there were also times when he played gangsters, you know, from a show. And that Michaud would use people. Good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
All colors of the rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't make any distinction between dark skin.
Well,
and
the black movies, I don't think did make any distinction.
But Michaud was one of the people who was hounded by some newspaper about saying, you only use light skinned guys as your heroes. And he said, he denied that. So then Tucker denied it as well. But certainly, and correct me if I'm wrong, but certainly my understanding of Harlem at the time, just Harlem, the general population, was that there was a distinction between lighter skinned and darker skinned people, in the sense that Tucker would say that he knows places that in Washington, for example, that he would visit, that a lighter skinned, middle class black family wouldn't invite.
Washington is the worst place in the world.
For that?
Among themselves, the blacks among themselves. I have a cousin who is very fair. Matter of fact, her father is white, and she has blue eyes. My mother hated her. But anyway, she has, well, she still has blue eyes, and she's very fair, and she's got sandy hair, straight and all that. And I have had a very dear friend in Washington, black. And I took my friend to visit my cousin, you know. So I said, oh, well, you two have something in common, friend and cousin. And I said, I think you should, you know each other. My cousin, she did one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And Kitty just dropped her head, because she knew the situation. The blacks are prejudiced against each
other. This is recently?
No.
Oh,
this is
earlier.
20 years ago. But they're still prejudiced in Washington.
Mm.
The very black people, the light people, they don't have any use for them. And now, as far as show business, I repeat, they all only wanted light skin.
But you never heard anybody give a reason why.
But for the men, I can't speak.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one could always see a white Hollywood actor. I mean, no one could always see, but one could conceive a white Hollywood man with a light-skinned black woman.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be very hard to conceive of a white Hollywood woman with a black man.
Yeah, well, that's all.
That's all.
But it's not as bad as all of this drugs and things
yeah.
that's going on now, all these murders and things. Isn't it all terrible?
Yeah. So. Now, you were saying, though, that you don't find that to be the case as much in, or never found that to be the case as much in Harlem as in Washington.
No.
That kind of caste system. Did you ever find any of that happening in, I guess maybe you answered this question before, but I'm just going to mention, in the structure of show business itself? I mean, was there any resentment between darks and lights because of roles that they were getting? Or, you know, did you ever experience any of that?
Well, I experienced that with not only the darker skin, but the
okay. I'm trying to think of a good question to end this on. The one I asked before was, The one I asked before was about how you had no regrets.
Still love children, still like to be in it.
Uh-huh. Okay.